of everyone on Golden State. Open shot. Fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth. You better hit it. I want Iguodala. That's right. And I know what that sounds like. And it's not fair to Steph because so much defensive attention is paid to him. And I'm not saying Steph's not a better shooter. He's a way better shooter. Iguodala, the ice water in advance.
NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Thursday, June 13. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. That's beer money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Finals. Today, breaking down and wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Australia. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right. And now we're at the pointy end. Can you feel it? Can you? Huh? Huh? That's right, man. Today's show is going to preview the last ever NBA game at Oracle Arena there in Oakland. We've got game 6 of the NBA Finals between the Raptors and Warriors. We're going to preview that with three big questions from both Golden State and Toronto. We've also got plenty of news to get through, some yeah nahs, an Outback Takehouse, and all that other good stuff. And finally, as part of the Game 6 preview, we're going to take a look at our 5 favorite bets. Jeez. The odds for Game 6 make our pick. But man, stick around for some massive yeah nahs and some other good stuff. And we're going to close out with a brand new Rowdy Recco. That's right, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by for a new life hack. Unreal. All right, man, this one's going to be a good one. I really hope it is. It's NBA Store Episode 304. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Wow, you better, or better watch out for the ruptured Achilles attack, yeah. This is a bummer, isn't it? But it's also, you know, got to watch out for the attack of the unsubstantiated rumors or the attack of the player firing their agent kind of news at the moment. How fun is this? I love it. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here in NBA Australia with a daily whip around. That's right. The daily whip around right off the top. Pour one out for Kevin Durant. Jesus. It is a ruptured Achilles tendon for him. And the coward snake, we love him here at NBA Australia. He's had surgery on it. Woj is already reporting he's going to be out for a year, which seems a bit wild considering that Rudy Gay was only out for 9 months and so was Kobe. But anyway, here we are. This is what we've found out. Kevin Durant, according to the Golden State Warriors, the MRI confirmed that Durant has suffered a ruptured Achilles. As a result of the injury, he underwent surgery today at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York, as opposed to the Hospital for Not Special Surgery. Nice. The surgery was performed by Dr. Martin O'Malley. The surgery was successful and Durant is recovering well. I mean, yeah, I guess. Still a giant bummer though, isn't it? God damn. And there you go. So the Warriors will be obviously without Kevin Durant for the rest of the finals, and whatever team signs him this offseason will probably be without him for all of next year. God damn it. Sucks, doesn't it? Sucks. Fucking hate injuries. They're the worst. Anyway, some other news. The Memphis Grizzlies hired Taylor Jenkins. Who's that? Yeah, I don't know. A Buds assistant up there in Milwaukee, a hotel Algonquin for the Goodland. He actually looks like a football coach. So he had to double check that it was the Grizzlies hiring Taylor Jenkins and not the Memphis Tigers. He's weirdly enough the third NBA head coach to come directly out of Mike Budenholzer's coaching staff after Quinn Snyder and Kenny Atkinson. Pretty weird. Anyway, it was weird because he's not like one of the highly touted assistants that you hear floating around the NBA circles, you know. It was much more like, who the fuck's that guy? Have you heard of him? Nah. All right, cool. Off we go then. Taylor Jenkins, that's our coach. But to be fair, it is the Grizzlies. And look, fuck, the next bloke holding a knife behind the dude who's in charge is going to be in charge in about 6 months. So hope you've got the extended guarantee on that contract there, Taylor Jenkins. Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to need that third-year guarantee. Thanks, fellas. Why? because there's going to be like 18 regime changes in between now and the next 3 years. Fucking Memphis. All right, other news. Aaron Bangers Baines. That's right. The human cement truck is picking up his player option with Boston for this year, according to the Shams. $5.9 million for the man from Mareeba. This is great. A source close to it said, no brainer. Boston's the first place where he's felt truly at home in the NBA.
He won a title in San Antonio.
They want him and he wants to be there. And $6 million doesn't hurt either. Fucking hell, did they ask like Bangers? Did they get me for the court? That's amazing. Anyway, on your Bangers, I love him in Boston. If only because, you know, we get to see a lot more Bangers because Boston are a popular team. I don't know if you noticed. Means we've got a lot more Bangers on our telly screens in Australia. Nice one. Other news, speaking of Boston, they're reportedly seeking to trade some or all of their draft picks in the upcoming NBA draft. It's next week. Nice. They have 14, 20, and 22. Which is pretty crazy. I mean, it also makes sense, as Woj said on SportsCenter the other day, they don't want to have three rookies on their team next season. I mean, they'd also like Kyrie Irving, but that's not going to work out now, is it? And Anthony Davis, I mean, best of luck. But we also got some more Celtics news, as the Celtics and Lakers are apparently, no shit, engaged in trade talks with the New Orleans Pelicans about Anthony Davis, the monobrow dipshit down there in New Orleans. League sources telling Woj, Zach Lowe, Ramona Shelburne, and that big spud Brian Windhorst. Apparently the Lakers' number 4 pick has been discussed. No shit. I mean, come on, man. We all get that. But I mean, I guess this is confirmation. It's pretty interesting. The Boston Celtics are still involved because Rich Paul was quoted in a big article on Sports Illustrated saying AD will definitely be a rental for Boston, saying they can trade for him, but it'll be for 1 year. I mean, if the Celtics traded for Anthony Davis, we would go there and we would abide by our contractual obligations. We would go into free agency in 2020. I've stated that to them. But in the event that he decides to walk away and you give away assets, don't blame Rich Paul. I just want to use that all the time, like for something that I've clearly am responsible for. It's like, there's the baby crying. Well, we've got him in a room. Don't blame James Clements. I mean, holy shit. Rich Paul, you dipshit. The dog crapped outside again and no one picked it up. Well, I mean, it's a dog. He's outside. Don't blame James Clements. Good job, Rich Paul. This is fucking great. I'm going to use that all the time. The toilet seat's left up and I was the last one to use it. Well, I don't see how you can blame me. Don't blame James Clements. Yeah, nice one, Rich Paul. Anyway, speaking of Boston again, Kyrie Irving. That's right, he is still the point guard for the Boston Celtics at the moment.
Not for long, though.
Kyrie's fired his agent, Jeff Weschler, and he's apparently signing with Roc Nation, which means he is 100% going to the Brooklyn Nets. Don't forget, Roc Nation being Jay-Z's company and management company now as well. He got into the agency game, did Jay-Z, and had to sell his stake in the Nets. But still, you gotta think, considering that the twin brother of the CEO of Roc Nation is the CEO of the Nets, the Yormax over there.
Yeah, I feel like the relationship is still pretty close-knit, you know?
Nice one. All right, and finally, a little bit of finals news. Toronto Nick Nurse, he reckoned they called that timeout with 3.5 minutes left in Game 5 to give his players a bit of a rest. And that didn't work out. And we also got a bit of fantastic, you know, Raptors fans heckling and swearing at Steph Curry's mom outside their hotel. Aw, isn't that nice? Bit of injury news. Paul George had a second shoulder surgery. Just a little bit of a cleanup, apparently. So there you go. Nice one. All right, let's get to three big questions for Game 6 as part of our Game 6 preview. Are you excited? I am. Jesus, I love a good Game 6. I love a good Game 7 as well. But Game 6, it's like the rising tide before the crashing of the wave, which is Game 7. Some classic Game 6s. 96, Sonics, Bulls, some great stuff. 97, Bulls, Jazz. 98, Bulls, Jazz. A lot of good Game 6s. But anyway, let's do big three yeah-nah questions for each of the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. Number one, let's start with the Raptors. Can they use the emotion from the Coward Snake Kevin Durant going out to rise up like they did for the rest of Game 5? Don't forget that they basically outplayed the Raptors for three quarters of a game. So, I mean, that's pretty good. Or will it all be too much and they'll overextend themselves and get a bit too emotional and push too hard? I reckon the first one, yeah. I reckon they rise up like they did in Game 5 and they come out and go, look, we're still the same team without Kevin Durant. It was fun having him for 12 minutes, but oh well. It's going to be on us now. The team that won a million goddamn games in 2016. That's right, 73-9 Warriors, that's who we are.
I mean, not really. Where's David West, bro?
But anyway, look, this is going to be on the Warriors to use that emotion and sort of actually harness it as opposed to letting it dictate and affect their stuff too much, because you can get over-reliant on that sort of thing. You get too hyped up. Shots suddenly go a bit long. You're shooting it a bit hard. You're shooting a bit too quick. You're not maybe looking for the next great play. You're just trying to get it up there and trying to get onto a run as opposed to letting it happen. You know, it's a tough one. All right, number two for the Warriors. Can Steph and Klay take 70 shots between them? Yeah, nah, yeah, and they fucking well should. Klay can't miss these goddamn finals, and Steph's Steph Curry, the greatest shooter the NBA's ever seen. They should take 70 shots between them. I don't care who takes the other 20 shots in the game, but Klay and Steph should take the first 70, that's for sure. Jesus. You got the Splash Brothers. Go to them. Go to your mans. Nice. Number three, will the Golden State Warriors D man up and slow down Kawhi? Again. I think the Warriors D can. Between Iguodala, I mean, look, having Durant out there and having Kawhi to, you know, have to worry about Durant for the first, what, one and a hint quarters in a game five, I reckon it sort of, you know, threw Toronto for a bit of a loop. Now, defensively, the Warriors have to go, all right, what do we do to slow down Kawhi? To be honest, I'd be, like, more concerned about slowing down everybody else and making sure Marc Gasol doesn't have, like, 17 points and Kyle Lowry doesn't have 17 points and Serge Ibaka doesn't tear you apart again. He's had 20 and 15 in the last two games. Like, I'm kind of still of the opinion, like, let Kawhi get his. Just make sure he shut down everybody else and it's going to be a bit tougher for him to win, you know? Thing is, Kawhi's such a goddamn good player. He gets his other dudes in other good places and, you know, makes it easier for them to score. That's what a really great all-timer does. But anyway, speaking of all-timer, bonus. Big question. Can we get an all-time Steph performance in Game 6? Do you reckon we will? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I think he's due for another one. We got 47 in Game 3 that kind of felt wasted. Do you reckon we got 50 and 12 out of this one? Can we? Would that be an all-time game? It really would be, wouldn't it? Nice. I don't know. Steph, he's just been sort of put through the ringer a little bit, hasn't he, in these finals? Sort of been up and down, and he had a pretty forgettable second half, don't forget. Get it? In Game 5, he was amazing in the first half, but we forget that he had a shit second half because he hit that middle three out of that 9-point run at the very end to win it for the Warriors. And he is still Steph, so you kind of always expect him to be good because that's the level of excellence that he's hit, you know. It's almost Andrew Gaze-esque, and that's why he keeps winning the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence here in NBA Australia. So, yeah, give me 50 and 12, Steph. Let's see it. As long as 12 of those assists go to Klay Thompson and he drops 70 as well, you might be in with a chance. All right, Toronto, can they nut up and land a knockout blow? Yeah, nah. I mean, they can. The big question is, will they? Because we kind of thought that the 10-point Kawhi run there in the fourth quarter was that knockout blow, and then his bloody coach hamstrung him and went, oh, no, y'all better sit down for a little bit and just let them get their win back. We better make it a fair-o game, right? good job, Nick Nurse. This one's called Wonderwall. Can they land the knockout blow? Yes, they can. But Klay and Steph landed their own knockout blow at the end of that fourth quarter in Game 5 to stop the knockout blow that Toronto threw at them. So you got to wonder whose knockout blow is going to be bigger and tougher. Jesus. It's the unstoppable object versus the immovable force. Wait, the unstoppable object versus the immovable force? Ah, fuck, upside down. Immovable object, unstoppable force. There we go. Jesus Christ, have some more coffee, Jimmy. Number two, can the Toronto D figure out that they literally only have to guard two people on the Warriors? Yeah, nah. I mean, you'd hope so, yeah. Seriously, who the fuck else is going to beat you on this Warriors team? Iguodala? He's done sweet FA since he beat Houston, basically by himself. It's like, oh, I'll just drop 16 a game and then never score again. Thanks, Iggy. Thanks for coming, bro. What, Boogie? That bastard can barely get up the goddamn court. I'm not sure if you can impact the game when you're only running three-point line to three-point line. Yeah, so can you double Steph and Clay the entire time and go, yes, Quinn Cook, please have at it, sir. Nice one. Next up, does Kawhi come out and drop a dead ass? This is the flip side of the Steph one. Does he drop a dead ass like 44 points and be like, that's all, folks. Fuck all y'all. That's how you fucking do it. Kawhi, engage winning mode. Winning achieved. Kawhi, engage sit down mode. Go home. Off-season mode. Yeah, that's how it's going to go, right? Can he do it? I mean, he can. Yeah. Close it down the road. He fucking loves that so far, doesn't he? He's been absolutely smashing it every time he gets a chance. And you're like, all right, well, here we go, Kawhi. You're on the road again, mate. You're going to go out there and absolutely bury this team? Because, look, don't forget, Kawhi was like similar to Steph in that second half of Game 5 in Struggletown until he went on that 10-point run by himself. He ended up having the very, Kobe, slightly better than Kobe, 9-24 shooting last game. So, but on the road, at Golden State in Game 4, he put up 36, don't forget, and he had 30 in Game 3 as well. So, should be interesting to see how old Kawhi goes. And without having Durant out there to sort of worry about, maybe he can sort of get going offensively a bit earlier and a bit quicker. And finally, bonus big question. Hey, are the Raptors fans dancing with the basketball gods devil and the basketball karma gods by cheering Durant's injury and heckling Steph's mom? Yeah, nah. Oh, yeah, it kind of feels like it, doesn't it? I mean, Drake can sort of be fake upset as much as he wants to be, but Raptors fans sort of going a little bit overboard and going hardcore at Sonya Curry? I mean, what the fuck did she ever do? It was a bit full on. And I told you, man, Canadian fans, it's all a facade, isn't it? It's all a facade. It all comes out now, doesn't it? You Canadian bastards. Nah, you Canadians are great. Apart from that one I met in the UK who knocked over my beer and never bought me a new one. What's his name? Fuck, I don't know. Steve? Yeah, Steve. Steve the Canadian. Fuck that guy. There we go. Met him in a backpackers pub in the UK about 12 years ago. I wonder if he still remembers the loudmouth Australian. Who knows? All right, there you go. That's the first set of Yenars and the first half of the preview. We're going to finish up the show with our best five bets and everything. And we're going to do some Yenars right up. Well, more Yenars. Bet some other stuff. Right after, I reckon, this one.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. So, yeah, nah, we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more or more nah. Number one, does Kyrie firing his agent and signing with Roc Nation mean he's going to the Nets? Yeah, nah, fucking 1,000,000%, yeah! I mean, come on, man. Jay-Z owned a part of the team, sold it so he could have his own agency. Kyrie then signs with that agency. And you know that Kyrie, oh, man, I just want to play basketball. I just want to like, hang out and play basketball. The world's flat. Also, open your third eye. But also, I just want to play basketball. I just don't want to talk about any other stuff. Also, I want to sign with Jay-Z. And also, I want to be in feature films as the lead character and title character in movies. Yeah, good job, Kyrie. He's 100% going to the Nets, isn't he? I mean, the Roc Nation thing, that literally could not be a bigger fucking bat signal. It's like, I'm just going to the Nets. May as well just say it now. What do we got? We've got 17 more days until we get to free agency. Jesus, 2.5 more weeks of, do you reckon Kyrie's going to go to the Nets? Yes. Yes, he's going to go to the Nets. The big question is like whether or not like Boston's go, fuck it, trade everything for Anthony Davis and then go, hey, Kyrie, do you want to kick around for a year more and we'll see if we can win the title? And he'd be like, oh, actually, maybe. And then Brooklyn gets stuck holding the bag. Nicely enough, that seems excellently in the second year. Nah, does that mean D'Angelo Russell's time in Brooklyn is done? Yeah, nah, if they sign Kyrie, yeah. But I also reckon there's just a big chance that he's traded to Chicago or Phoenix for the 5 or 6 picks. And maybe something else neat from either Phoenix or Chicago. Yeah. And then I feel like Brooklyn flipped that somewhere else for something else. Maybe Kevin Love? Get the gang back together. Ooh, wouldn't that be good? Nice one. That also means we had some reports that I didn't mention this in the news, but there was a bunch of Tobias Harris has some interest in the Brooklyn Nets. It's like, yeah, no shit. He's a free agent. What's he going to say? I have no interest in signing with those people who want to give me millions and millions of dollars. That'd be fucking dumb. But do you reckon Tobias Harris is a net as well? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I kind of think that it's a Kyrie and Tobias Harris kind of deal there for the Nets, because Tobias Harris is the kind of ideal sort of stretch four, not four, that they need around Jarrett Allen and Caris Sweet Baby LeVert. And look, Tobias is also super fucking young, don't forget. So I kind of feel like he fits in with the Nets timeline of like, all right, we'll just get young good dudes. And if we get Kyrie and Tobias Harris to go around Jarrett Allen, Caris LeVert, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I mean, feeling pretty good. Tobias Harris is 26. That's fucking wild. Nice. Anyway, so I reckon that's a good landing spot for Tobias Harris. You just got to wonder, though, if you max him out. I don't feel like he's a max player. The thing might be for Philly just to go, fuck it, we'll just max you out, Tobias. It's fine, man. Here's all the money. Here's all our money. You and Jimmy, just here's all our money. Make it rain. Nice. All right, let's do some more finals ones, and we'll get back to some Kevin Durant stuff. It's just fucking depressing talking about the Kevin Durant stuff, isn't it? Jesus. But still, 2 days later, can we still blame anyone for the KD injury? Yeah, nah. Look, I'm going back and forth on this. I kind of think, kind of, yeah-ish. Because I don't know if you can place blame specifically on someone, but I think it could have been handled better. I mean, why are you playing the guy who hasn't played in a month 12 of the first 14 fucking minutes of a game? Like, you wouldn't do that normally during the season, right? Let's say, old mate over here hasn't played in a month. Are you going to run him out there for the first 12 of the first 14 minutes of the game? No, you're not going to. That's ridiculous. So just because it's a must-win game, I get it. I know that you're going to play him that much and you're not going to give him a minutes limit or anything, but I kind of think that you maybe should have handled that a little bit better and a little bit more strategically. It's like, all right, we'll give Kevin a little bit of rest here, a little bit more rest there. Maybe just stretch it out, see how he feels, maybe, after the first quarter and a half, after the first half. And then if he's feeling fine, then you're just like, all right, fuck it. 10 minutes in the third quarter. Let's go, Kevin. 10 minutes in the fourth. What do you reckon, pal? But really, could you imagine if him, like, 12 or 14 minutes, if you're on track to play 36, 38 minutes in your first game in a fucking month, is it any surprise you get injured? That's insane. Look, I get the guy wanted to play and no one was putting a gun to his head. But at the same time, he's probably not all the way healed because he didn't come fucking close to playing in game four. He got hurt again while his body's overcompensating. But at the same time, you got to look into the idea that he did look fucking awesome for those first 12 minutes, you know? So he obviously felt fine. I'm just dubious that he also wouldn't have continued to look good if he'd rested a little bit more between stints of actually being on the court. 12 or 14 minutes, man. That's nuts. You wouldn't even fucking play boogie like that. You don't play boogie like that. Nice. Anyway, but speaking of Durant, with him out for conceivably in the next season, with the Achilles rupture, does he still get a max contract? Yeah. I mean, should he? Yeah. He's still going to be bloody good no matter what, I reckon. I was talking to numerous folks about this. And the best comp that I think isn't obviously like Kobe, he was too old, Elton Brand, he was too big, Wes Matthews, too small and not quite the elite athlete. Even Dominic Wilkins, he was too old too. It's Rudy Gay, right? Who was never anywhere near the complete player or scorer KD is, but he was also 30 when he did his. A season and a half later, Rudy Gay is kind of back-ish to being able to maybe sort of do what he could do before on the court. At least he's out there and he's not rubbish, you know? He's not quite as good as he was, but then he also wasn't able to fall back on the range of talents that Kevin Durant conceivably could, right? I feel like with KD being 7 foot, but also not a giant big dude like Boogie coming back for something like this, I feel like he can recapture most of it. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, driving the ball as opposed to, you know, his very silky smooth jumper. Like, the dude can shoot the fucking lights out. I think he's going to be fine. That's my big point. I think he's got a range of skills. He's just not going to be able to get down there in the paint, bang around, flip, 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 fucking turn around, hezzy Jimbo pull up, you know? It's a bit tricky, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to be all right. I feel like. Yeah. Is this also just a massive bummer? Yeah, nah, fuck yes. The dude was on pace to be the all-time leading scorer in NBA history if he had stayed healthy, for fuck's sake. He's 31st all-time. He's third in active scoring already. Once you take out D-Wade, Dirk, and Melo, because they're all done. He's 15K away from Kareem in the all-time scoring list, which would be another, what, 6-7 years of really high-level scoring, and he would have easily gotten that if he'd gone to the Knicks and been the guy and averaged, like, 32 points a game for, like, the next 4 or 5 years, right? So, goddamn, man. Like, this is why it's such a fucking bummer. Those are the stakes. We're literally losing history in front of us, and that's why this sucks for KD and for everybody as basketball fans. It's bullshit. Yeah, it kills me. All right, though. Will KD now stay with the Warriors? Yeah, nah. I think it makes it much more feasible than it was, obviously. I feel like he could easily stay and maybe do like another 1+1 extension rehab on their dime, hang out, and then go, all right, now I'm feeling all right now. I'm going to bounce and see how you like that. What do you reckon? But either way, like, teams are still going to be lining up to sign him. He's Kevin motherfucking Durant. Like, the Warriors will be a part of that line, I think, to re-sign him. It comes down to what it wants to do rehab-wise, right? Stick in Golden State and hang out with his mates, go to a new team and a new medical staff. Might be a tricky, tricky sort of equation for the Slim Reaper. But, I mean, would the Lakers give him a max contract? Yeah, in a heartbeat. The Clippers would. The Knicks would. The Nets probably would. Houston, probably nah. Celtics, probably nah. But, look, a lot of teams still would, right? And they're like the ones who you'd actually conceivably could see him going to. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. Love it, though. Well, I don't love it. It sucks, but it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. Like, it was actually reported that if he opting in would be like a last resort kind of dealio for his $31 million contract for this season. So he's obviously going to sign with someone. Will it be the Warriors? Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, speaking of the Warriors, can the Warriors win game 6 at home? Yeah, nah, yeah, they can, but will they? Yeah, I reckon they do. I reckon we've got one more fuck you, let's do this for Kevin shot in them. And with that said, we're going to keep asking until it happens, can Andrew Bogut win finals MVP? Yeah, nah, I mean, what are you going to do? He's still the only Warrior with a positive plus minus. Just saying. Just saying. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. I kind of already talked about this, but I think KD can be the guy who comes back and was almost, if not as good as he was before, an Achilles injury, right? He's not a big dude like Boogie. He's not carrying anywhere near that amount of weight, which lessens the amount of stress you're going to put on it. Same goes for Rudy Gay. Rudy's more compact and a bit thicker than Kevin. I think we get more of a Kobe Neek situation where he comes back and can still score, but isn't quite the two-way player he ever was. Like, Kobe was too old probably at that point anyway. And Neek was never any sort of a defender, really. And Kobe was even vastly overrated sort of heading in towards his injury. But look, KD could really impact both ends. And I think this might be the part where we see him hit the, we'll take it easy on the defensive end part of his game. He could just easily turn into like a 7-foot James Harden for the rest of his career. Because I just feel like he can still score. Like, you know, he's going to be able to score in his fucking sleep. If he comes back a step slow, rehabs, 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 maybe. I mean, Wes Matthews was also like a dude who was on the verge of being like the one of the premier sort of 3-and-D players, and then he did his. But again, kind of a different body shape. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with KD, and I hope that he comes back and is absolutely crushing it. All right, let's step into Outback Steakhouse. Come on in to Outback. It's Thursday, and you know what that means at Outback. Bloomin' onions. That's right. Got 3-for-1 bloomin' onions. I don't know what the fuck these things are. What is it? Deep fried onion? I've never fucking heard of this. Ah, well, better foist it onto you Yanks. Goes great with a juicy flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take at Outback Steakhouse is the Warriors doctors cleared Kevin Durant knowing he could injure himself, but they knew that was their only way he'd stay in Golden State. So they gave him the go-ahead when he shouldn't have played. And now they get to keep Kevin Durant for the foreseeable future. Only at Outback. a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, and the Patty Mills Twitter Game Day Bowler Game Day Twitter check-in and the rest of our Game 6 preview right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
All right, let's do it. It's time for an NBA Australia never forget. A great moment in NBA Australia stat history. And let's do it. Can you believe it's been 23 years to the bloody day that our old mate Lucien Longley, a.k.a. Outback Billy Russell, was out there crushing alongside the GOAT MJ and Scottie Pippen on the 96 Bulls? Love this, while going up against my beloved Seattle Supersonics in the NBA Finals. 23 years ago, 1996. Is that 24? Fuck, I don't know. Anyway, that's right, the giant Sam Groper was patrolling the paint for the Bulls against Gary the Glove Payton and the Rain Man himself, Sean Kemp, and doing a bloody admirable job in leading the Bulls to the title. And look, while the Sonics may have stomped the Bulls by 21 in Game 4, it was through no fault of the Thunder from Down Under, because matched up against the immortal Frank Brokowski, a name so apt that the only way to top it would be for Kevin Love to change his name to Kevin Spud, or King Dally, Matty Dellavedova, change his name to Matty Dellava Curry Stopper. Big Lucien went to work with more relish than your old man making his signature ham and cheese sanger. That's right, dominating Brokowski like he was Billy Brownless at the Smoggy Sunday all-you-can-eat buffet. Lucky Luke shot 5 of 8 from the field and was a perfect 2 for 2 from the charity stripe for a crucial 12 points. He also ripped down 3 rebounds because bloody Dennis Rodman ripped down the rest of them. He stole the rest of them, that's what he does. But Luke made up for it in other ways, handing off 3 assists more perfect than the 1 minute 48 seconds of Grinspoon's Just Ace. And in a display of rim protection only seen usually when he tried to slip one past the misses, Luke also had a block that was so vicious that Steve Scheffler almost Sheffled himself. Unfortunately for the Bulls, the reason they lost is probably because the towering monstrosity of Lucien only played 25 minutes due to the bloody refs, even back then, having an extreme case of anti-Australian bias and slapping the big fella with 5, count them, 5 absolutely rubbish fouls. Anti-Australian bias. Just saying. Oh well. Still, the Bulls were up 3-0 in the series anyway, and Big Luke clearly wanted the Bulls to celebrate the title on their own floor, so he let my Sonics have this one. And rumour has it that Big Luke respected the play of Kemp and Payton so much that for once he didn't reverse Kanga, the visitors' dunnies. Now, a bloody bad showing from our man. 2 games later, the Thunder from Down Under would have his first ring and be well on his way to an OAM, even though he should be given a bloody knighthood. So there you go. That is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Luke Longley dominating. Dominating Game 4 of the 96 Finals. What an absolute dead set. Legend. All right, let's go to the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. All right, we don't actually have any more Patty Mills. Oh, come on, Patty, get back on the old Twitter machine, would you? You're killing me. But we do have the ever-present Jinglin' Joe Ingles delivering once more some social media gold, tweeting at a picture of himself asleep on what appears to be the dog's bed, cuddling a whole bunch of toys, including, what's that, that pink thing? There's an Elmo under there. That's a Buzz Lightyear. There's a dinosaur. Some weird yellow thing. There's a monkey in there too. And Jinglin' Joe Ingles is there asleep, cuddling his toys, and it's amazing. He's tweeted out saying it's been a long day. Z's emoji, crying laughing emoji. Ah, Jingles! You're my favorite. Come on the 350th episode, would you? Absolutely legendary. As per usual from the jingling one. All right, let's do it. Let's finish off our Game 6 preview and look at our 5 favorite bets for Game 6 and see how it's all going, shall we? So let's do the damn thing.
Game preview. Game preview.
That's right. We've got Toronto at Golden State, inadvertent Bane. What do you think about that?
I like anything that gets us more basketball.
Thank you, inadvertent Bane. Toronto at Golden State, the final ever game, NBA game, at Oracle Arena there in Oakland. Which was weird. I love going. I went there once, and it was dodgy as all shit. You got to walk past the Coliseum, the home of the Oakland A's, and I guess the former home of the Oakland Raiders. And it felt sketchy as fuck. You're like, oh man, I'm going to get stabbed. Where am I? Fucking Melton? Come on, man. It was wild. Anyway, let's look at our five favorite bets for game six. See if we can't lose ourselves some more money. we've got a couple here. We've got some good ones. What do you reckon? Right off the bat, I like the over on the total points of 211 total. I think we've hit that in every game so far this series. So I'm going to go the over with that one. I like that as number one. Kawhi with the under on his rebounds. It's 9.5. I think we went the under Kawhi rebounds last game, and that was a loss, but that was only 8.5. You're getting an extra rebound now, and Kawhi is sort of like on the road, not as dominatingly on the boards. He had 7 in Golden State in game 3, 12 in game 4. He has gone 12 in the last two games, and he had 14 in game 2. So look, this is up to you. I'm going to go under just because I feel like we get a lot more rebounds coming from elsewhere in this Raptors team. But if you like the over, then I'd also suggest going a Kawhi double-double, which is at $1.80. But $2.03 for the under for Kawhi at 9.5 rebounds. I reckon there's a pretty good case for him getting 8 or 9. But if you like over 9.5, I'd also then jump on the Kawhi double-double. That's $1.80. All right, Klay Thompson, over made 3s, 3.5. Give me that in a fucking heartbeat. That's $1.81. I'm taking that one. Danny Green, over 1.5 made 3s. Now, we've steered you clear the last two games of Danny Green in the over 3s, and we were right. And we hit the three games before that perfectly with the over 3s, and I think we're back. I think Danny Green easily hits 2 3s in this game and hits your over for you as well. So jump on that one if you want. So there's 4. Now, dealer's choice of the rest of the way. Lowry, over 3.5 first quarter points. I love this one. I think Kyle Lowry comes out after his big miss shot to end that game 5 in Toronto. Could have won the title. Gets blocked by Draymond. Give me Lowry over 4 points. Well, over 3.5 points in the first quarter. And the first half away points total of 51.5. I feel like Toronto score about 54, 55 points in the first half. I like the over there. So you can take those 5 if you want. Now, I've got a couple of extra ones. The Draymond triple-double's at $3.60. I love the idea of Draymond getting a triple-double. That price is a bit short, so I wouldn't put too much money on it. But you know what I also love? Serge Ibaka over 1.5 blocks at $2.50. Give me that one. Steph and Clay to combine to score 60-plus points. It's $2. It's very short, but I like that. And if you like that, then also jump on Steph 35-plus points in a Golden State win at $4. And will there be overtime? 12-1. I love this. I think this is going to be a very close game, and I would not be surprised if there's overtime. So I like that. But what is my pick? Raptors +3. It was 3.5 on Tuesday. Got to 3. I think it's now at 2.5. 2.5 seems a little bit short, but I like 3. 3.5. But yeah, 2.5 might be a bit close, but I think I'm still going to take that. Raps +2.5. I think the Warriors win, though, but the Raptors cover. What do you reckon? How good's that? Shit, yeah. Love it. All right, well, that's it for today. We're back tomorrow with our wrap of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Oh, I can't wait. I love a good Game 6, I told you. So we're going to be back with all the usual ridiculousness tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. We're all over that. All the time, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first, go to NBAAustralia.com, click on the big Amazon button on the right-hand side of the page, go do your shopping, they kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone, whatever, man. If you can rate and review us, it helps out heaps. Follow us on Spotify as well, that's really good. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It is the best Australian album of the year by far. It is unreal. House Hats, Running Out of Time. They're amazing. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it. We're going to finish up with a brand new Rowdy's Recos as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by with a brand new life hack. It's a pretty good one, too. All right, man, we're going to catch you tomorrow after Game 6. Are the Raptors going to be NBA champions? Or are we going to have a Game 7? I cannot bloody wait. All right, we'll talk to you then. This is NBA Australia saying, later, horses! Hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff here. Just back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, try to help you live life a little more stress-free. I mean, after all, I played in Russia, where if you played in the finals and had a bad game, they'd put you in a coliseum where everyone would be cheering and Vladimir Putin would chop your Achilles in half. So, you could say I've dealt with ridding myself of my fair share of stress. So, this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really simple. If you're stressing out, if life is getting a bit overwhelming, one of the easiest life hacks out there is really, 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 really a simple way to relax yourself and great for your mindset. All you need to do is make sure you eat breakfast. That's right. It doesn't matter how much work is getting you down or whatever else in life is stressing you out. If you just make sure to start every day right and have a healthy, nutritious breakfast, you'll find that your mind clears and feels better than being able to walk around with both of your Achilles intact. Seriously, there's literally almost nothing better for your soul than tucking into a breakfast with, say, cereal, toast, juice and coffee, or maybe some muesli and yogurt, or maybe some eggs, perhaps even some porridge. It doesn't matter. You'll feel better, your brain will be off to a racing start, and it's way easier to take on all of life's problems with a healthy breakfast behind you. I mean, while I played in Russia, the only things we got for breakfast were usually gruel made from old tires or eggs that were green and definitely not from Chernobyl, according to the package. So, yeah, that was not relaxing. But there you go. It's simple. If you're feeling tired, feeling stressed, just make sure you start every day right and get a big, healthy breakfast into you. It's a great way to start your day nutritionally and gets you into the groove and swing of the day in no time. And you'll just watch the rhythms and pace of life slow down and wash all over you, leaving you feeling great, less stressed, with both of your Achilles and ready to take on the world in no time. So, that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll be back and have another one for you next week. And until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.